It is good to be here with you all today. Why don't we pray and read our Bibles together. God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good and kind and loving, and you care for us. You allow us to sing to you, and you receive our praise, and you fill our hearts with gladness as we do. Now, God, as we read your word, I pray that you would make what we read in the Bible living and powerful. That you would open our hearts to you, that you would help me explain well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so there's something that happens in our lives, something that we experience. It, no matter how intelligent we think we are, and no show of hands to demonstrate how intelligent you think you are, we think we're pretty smart. There's a lot that we don't know, and I'm not talking about space or science or the miracle of how to get along with everybody all the time, or technology, or how to fix your computer, all those mysteries. There's something more basic, more fundamental that we live in a bit of ignorance of, not always, many times. We go through life without really truly understanding life or God or ourselves or how things should truly work. Let me give you a few examples. And this is true even for those of us who have been around God and read our Bibles and we know things, but it's hard for, well, we sometimes live as if we don't understand. So one example, we think that we are sovereign, that we control a lot, our lives, part of our lives. We think that we have quite a bit of control. We know we think that because we try to control everything that we can, and we get frustrated when we can't control things, when things happen outside of our control. Okay, another example. We think that our disobedience to God is not that big of a deal, that it's our right to do what we want, that we get to choose, that it really doesn't matter that much, that we can hide it, that there, we'll be able to get around whatever punishment might come to us. We know we think that, even if we say we don't. We know we think that because we consistently and repeatedly disobey God. It's our life's pattern. And one more. We think that true happiness comes from the things that we get, the achievements that we accumulate, the experiences that we have in life, that we will be happier when we have more, that when we do more. And we know that we think that because we always want more. We always want to get an experience and have more, and we're not happy until we get more, and we always want more, so we're kind of destined to never be truly happy. See, thinking this way is a big part of being lost. When we say lost, when we say someone is lost, it's a big part of that is how we think, how we look at life, how we think separates us from God. It puts us in a category like Paul would describe. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Warning, there's a lot of verses today, and I'm going to jump all over it. I'm probably going to go faster than everyone except the most agile fingered among you can go, because I have them in my notes, but jot them down. Go with me. Don't be frustrated if I go faster than you. I know that I've given you time to get to Ephesians by saying all of that now. That's for the other ones. Ephesians 2:12. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in this world, that's lost. Today we get a look at a text that is really good. It connects us with the reality of life and existence. It reveals how God opens up our minds and how he changes our thoughts and how he gives us understanding and wisdom and knowledge. Go to 1 John chapter 5. If you only go to one verse today, go to that one. You can even stay there because we'll be going back to it. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. We're almost to the end. I would tell you how many messages I think are left, but that would be, it's more than you could guess. I was surprised this week. Okay, keep going. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, that we are in Him who is true, and in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. We know. See, this is the last of three verses that contain affirmations. We know that because it starts with the word we know. He's saying we know these are affirmations for those who are children of God, our realities in Christ, in the gospel, things that are true for us and of us. He says we know as if we should all know, but we know, as we've seen the last couple of weeks, we don't always know. We forget. And there are actually, if you read it, there are actually three affirmations in this verse itself. So this verse contains three things. He says, we know, and then he says three things, one right after the other. We're going to look at two today. Now, we'll look at the second one first. Don't worry, Lord willing, if we are still here, we will look at the third one next week. We'll get there. So look at the second affirmation he makes. So we know that the Son of God has come, and look at this, it has given us understanding, has given us. Jesus gives us understanding. God, Jesus has come and He's given us knowledge. He's given us wisdom to be able to know Him. What is the understanding that He gives us? Well, Jesus gives us understanding of how life is supposed to work, of how things actually are. He gives us understanding of God, of who God is, that God is the King of the universe, the sovereign creator. Jesus taught us who the Father was and is. He gives us understanding of ourselves, that we've rebelled, primarily that we've rebelled against Him, created in His image, we've rebelled against Him. That's why Jesus continually called people to repentance, to leave behind the rebellion and to turn to God. He gives us knowledge of how to find peace with God in spite of our rebellion. Jesus gives us a path through which we can be reconciled to the Father and find true happiness in Him. This understanding that Jesus gives us when it says that we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, that's the gospel. The gospel, this understanding is wrapped up in the gospel. The gospel comes out of this understanding. Go to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Now I would remind you, brothers, Paul is talking, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, otherwise you believe in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scripture, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. The gospel is the knowledge that Jesus gives us, the understanding that He gives us, the wisdom that He gives us. It's wrapped up in the gospel. It is the gospel. That's why the word says when the gospels talk about Jesus' life, what did He go about doing? He went about healing the sick. He went about preaching the gospel, proclaiming the gospel. That's what He did. That was the knowledge that He came to give us. How does He give us that knowledge? How does He give us the knowledge of the gospel? So go to the first affirmation. I said there were two we're going to look at. The first affirmation is, we know that the Son of God has come. And then we know that He's given us understanding. So we know that the Son of God has come. That's how He gives us understanding. That's how and why we receive understanding from Jesus, because He came. Jesus, the Son of God, has come. He came to earth. He came to the cross. What does Him coming have to do? John obviously links them together. He's come and He's given us understanding. How does Him coming give us understanding, give us knowledge? What happened when He came? What did He do? Well, first of all, when Jesus came, He became flesh. He became incarnate. He was God in the flesh, and He lived among us, and He spoke among us. So look at a couple of passages. Look at John chapter 1, Big John, the Gospel of John. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And all things were made through Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. The life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness has not overcome it. Now jump down to verse 16. For from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made Him known. And then flip over to Hebrews chapter 1. If you weren't already there, right? because that's where this goes. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to the angel, to angels, as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. By being the word that became flesh, and when Jesus was incarnate, his presence and his words revealed to us who God is and how we can come to know him. That's a summary. There's a lot in that, but that's what he did. That's what he showed us. That's what the word becoming flesh gave us. It gave us a knowledge and understanding of God. And you say, well, he's not incarnate with us physically now. Even today, his incarnation gives us understanding because we read the Gospels, right? That's why we read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We read the Gospels, and in them we see who Jesus is and how he lived, and through him we see the Father, and we hear his words, and we understand how to get to the Father. Also, when Jesus came, he didn't just come to earth and teach. He came specifically to go to the cross. So he went to the cross, and then he was resurrected from the dead. He went there to save us. And when he saves us, he regenerates us. He makes us new. He makes our spirit and our mind new. We're able in him to know and to understand in a way that we can't when we are outside of Jesus. Okay, so this week in our church's community groups, we're going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 4. Obviously, we're not going to read three chapters of 2 Corinthians right now. Read those, jot those down, read them yourself. We're going to read one verse. So go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. And just look at how it describes how when God makes us new, when Christ makes us new because he came to the cross, he makes us new, we can know, we can see and appreciate spiritual realities in a way that only new people can. For God, who said, 2 Corinthians 4:6, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. When he saves us, we're born again, regenerates our soul and our mind so that we can know him, so that we can see him, so that we can love him, so we can worship him. And also, when he came, because he came, he sent his spirit as he left. So he came, and then as he left, he sent his spirit to accompany us, to be in us. We're made new in him. We're in him, and his spirit inhabits in us. And through his spirit, Jesus gives us knowledge. So I look at John chapter 14, verse 26. Jesus is promising he came and now he's about to leave, but because he came, he's going to send the Spirit to be in his place, connecting us to the Father, connecting us to himself. Verse 26, John chapter 14, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Or chapter 16, verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes and okay. I'm grabbing verses from these, like one verse. It's only because of time. Read the context. I had to just keep paring them down. Read, go home and jot these verses down and read what comes around them. It's more of the same. John chapter 16, verse 13. Wish we could read more. We can read more later. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Through the guidance of his Spirit in us, Jesus guides us into all truth. He gives us understanding, and we We can't talk about how Jesus guides us into all truth, how he gives us knowledge and understanding without, well, he does that through his word, right? The one who is the word of God speaks to us through the word of God. We know the verse. I want to read it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Just realize some of this verse reading is kind of self-serving. We know the verses. I enjoy reading these verses. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active. So when we read the Bible, it's a living thing, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intention of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, and all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. When we read the Bible, Jesus, the word of God, speaks to us through his word. Jesus came and by revealing God to us in his person and by regenerating our minds when he saves us and through his spirit and through his word, he gives us divine understanding. And the last question, then next to last question is, what is the purpose of that? Why would Jesus give us divine understanding? What is the reason? To what end does Jesus come to give us understanding? That's a good question. Actually, I was looking at my notes this morning, and as I was looking over it, I was like, I wrote that in the notes. I wrote, that's a good question, about a question that I wrote. So do with that what you will. But it is a good question, because normally, many times, Paul even says it, knowledge what? Knowledge puffs up. It makes us proud, right? The more we know, the more predisposed we are to be prideful. I know more than you. Let me explain to you. I'm kind of the expert on this. The more we know, it's not always desirable. Of course we should learn, but that comes with a price in our pride and in our character. Knowledge can easily take us into feeling superior and being prideful or feeling like we're auto-sufficient, self-sufficient. We know, I know, don't need your help, I know. Christ came to give us understanding, to give us knowledge. What reason did he do for that? So that, go back to 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. Let me find the beginning of it, because it all flows together. And we know that the Son of Man has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. That's why. We are in him who is true, and in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is a true God and eternal life. Christ gives us understanding, not just so we can know more, not just so we can be puffed up in our knowledge, so that we can know God and be in him, that the knowledge that he gives us takes us to know God. That's the purpose of it. The reason Christ comes to give us understanding is so that we would know what he makes us know, what he puts in our mind, what he reveals to us is the gospel, and that takes us to know God. Well, what happens when we receive the knowledge that Christ gives us is we surrender to God. When we truly receive and understand what Jesus Christ opens our minds to receive, what Christ tells us about who God is and who we are and how we can be at peace with God, we should surrender to God. That's why he gives us that knowledge. The knowledge itself isn't the point. The point is that we would come into a relationship with God so that we would leave behind our normal way of thinking about life, our rebellious mind, our selfish perspective, so that we could come to know God, know him intellectually, and also know him as our Father. That's why Jesus came, to give us understanding, so that we would be able to know God and be in a relationship with God. And more on that next week. But with what we've seen today, what's the application? What should we do with this? Well, if you're not a Christian, if you still haven't given yourself to Jesus, I imagine, especially if you're here, you've heard. You've listened. You've read the Bible. You know stuff. You know knowledge, a large part probably, of what Jesus came to let us know, the understanding that he came to bring to us. But here's the deal. Put the verse together. It doesn't, knowing, knowing, having knowledge, having understanding, knowing about God, knowing the facts, even being able to win Bible bowls and say all the right answers, that doesn't matter if that knowledge doesn't take you to know God. Having knowledge, knowing things without knowing God as your Father or Jesus as your Savior is worthless. The reason Christ gives you knowledge and has let you hear about Him and know about Him and know about the Father is that He's inviting you. He invites you to surrender to Him, to receive what He said, not just know it in your head, to receive it in your heart, to surrender your heart and your will and your mind and your life to Him by repenting and being baptized. Now, when you do that, in that moment, you come to know God, not just know about God, but to know God. His Spirit enters you. You become His child. You are in Christ. As of that moment forward, you become God's child. And in this community, when you say, I want that. I want to know God, not know about God. I want to know God. Tell someone. You can repent. You can be baptized. For those of us who are Christians, what should we do? I thought about it. There were several options. I was going to do two applications and then one application. Well, it'll become two, but one application. We should proclaim, we should imitate our Savior and proclaim what He's taught us. So what Jesus, the knowledge, the understanding that we've received from Jesus, we should proclaim that to those who still don't have it, who haven't received it. We're not salespeople for church. We have life. And we're supposed to be sharing the knowledge that we have that leads to knowing God and getting that life. So in the same way that we heard and then God opened our hearts and then we surrendered to Him, we should be the agent of telling. We should speak. We should speak the knowledge that Christ gave us to other people who don't have it. That's why we're supposed to proclaim the gospel. We're supposed to say the words of the gospel. We're supposed to, in our conversations, that's why we ask people if they would study with us. That's why we're supposed to be friends with non-Christians and develop relationships so that we can speak the gospel so that they can come to a knowledge of the truth. Oh, I'm going to put that verse in for tonight. We should do that with the same enthusiasm. One more verse. Romans chapter 1, verse 15. As Christians, we're Christians. We should proclaim that with the same enthusiasm that the Apostle Paul had. Look at how he writes to the Romans. Is a really heavy letter, but look at how he starts it off. Romans chapter 1, verse 15, before it gets really just weighty. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, that is, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. This knowledge, this understanding of the gospel, what Christ did on the cross, the knowing that, and then that working in us is the power of God to save us. And Paul says, I want to proclaim that to you. Someone proclaimed it to him. He wanted to proclaim it to them. That's what we should do, because that knowledge is what God uses to bring us to faith. And also, I said there'd be a secondary little application tacked on. We should be thankful. If we're Christians, if you're sitting here this morning, you say, I have. I don't know everything, but I've received understanding from Jesus. I get it. I understand. I read the Bible. I know Him. I remember when I went in the water and I gave myself to Him. We should be thankful. Jesus came to illuminate us with the weight of our own rebellion and with the glory of God. Shouldn't we be continually thankful to Him? That's what we do when we take the Lord's Supper together. That's why we take bread and wine. We remember what our Savior has done in us and for us, and we're supposed to overflow in gratitude as we do that. And even though I know we're in silence when we do that, in our hearts we should be overflowing. We should be talking to God. That's something that growing up I saw with my dad. My dad always is talking during communion in a low voice, which when you're a young person, you're like, you get embarrassed by, because you look around and say, who else can hear? But you grow, you appreciate that, because what is he doing? He's praying. He's whispering in our ears, saying, he's repeating the gospel. He's repeating what Jesus did in our ears. He's saying scripture to us, to himself. He's worshiping Jesus, overflowing in gratitude. Even though we're quiet as we do this, in our hearts, let's be thankful to our Savior. Remember what he did. Read the verse from John again, verse 20, 1 John 5:20. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, and his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life because of Jesus, because of him coming, because of his cross. We can know God. We can be his children. We can be in him. We have this supernatural understanding, and we have come to know God because Jesus came from heaven to earth to the cross, and he rose from the dead, and he sent his Spirit to us. So let's take bread. Let's take juice. Let's remember that, what Jesus did, and worship him together. God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good to us. You come and you came and you continue to come to seek us, to find us when we were lost in our sins and our rebellion against you. You opened our mind and our hearts, and you drew us to you. You died on the cross so that we could be made right with you. For that, Jesus, and for letting us be part of that, we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's take the bread together.